Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, guide us as we hear the written word. May it lead us to our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. This can be found on page 200 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, hear what the Spirit says to the church. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him in God was pleased to reconcile Himself of all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, my granddaughter and her husband adopted two orphans from Romania and brought them to live in Virginia in the United States. Can you imagine what a change that was for those girls? They not only went from an orphanage to a loving home, but they had to learn a new language, had different food, new sights, new sounds, new smells. It was a whole new world. Well, that's the sort of change that Paul says has happened to us who are Christians. He says that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. The rescued idea reminds us of the Exodus. There God rescued Israel from a life of hard bondage as slaves in Egypt and set them as a nation of free people in their own land. So what is it from which God has rescued us? Well, for the Colossians, to whom Paul wrote these words, it was the darkness of paganism. They lived in a world of gods who were capricious and fickle and jealous, gods who always had to be paid off with sacrifice lest they make life utterly miserable for you. For the people of our time, it's the darkness of secularism, which sees the world as a closed universe which is devoid of purpose or value. Our culture has become increasingly aware that the world it envisions is a world without meaning and a world in which there's really nothing on which we can depend. The pagans lived in a world of fear. Moderns live in a world of isolation and alienation. Paul says God has rescued us from that and transferred us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So what's the difference? What is it about the kingdom of Christ that's so much better? Well, you know, the nature of a kingdom depends entirely upon the king. If you have a bad king, life is generally bad. If you have a good king, life is generally good. So Paul tells us about our king, probably using language that the Christians were already using in worship. He tells us that Christ is our representative. On the one hand, he represents God to us humans. He is the image of the invisible God. In Jesus Christ, we see God with a human face. The better we understand Jesus Christ, the better we understand God. On the other hand, he represents us humans to God. That's what happened on the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. And that's what happened in his resurrection. He destroyed the power of death, and he gave us new life. Because Jesus Christ is our representative, we can be members of his kingdom, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by the amazing grace of God that is given to us in Christ. Paul also says that Christ is a creator of all things. Everything that exists was created in him and through him and for him. That's everything. You know, from the innumerable galaxies that make up our universe to the electrons and photons that are the building blocks of all that is material, to the immaterial forces that affect all of our lives. Christ made it all. And Christ not only made it all, but Christ holds it together so that creation continues. But because things have gone awry in creation, at least in that part of creation that we human beings touch and affect, Paul also tells us that Christ is the reconciler. What I said before about the pagan world and the secular world makes it clear that humanity as a whole does not acknowledge its creator. There's a gap between God and human beings that no human can bridge. But God sent his beloved Son into the world to be the Christ who will bridge that gap and reconcile the creation to the Creator. How that will happen, we cannot know. When that will happen, we cannot know. But the foundation for that reconciliation was laid on the cross of Calvary, where Christ gave his life for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's what Paul told the Colossians. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. So Christ is our representative, our creator, our reconciler. It's not just a good king that we have. Jesus Christ is an awesomely wonderful king. And that makes the kingdom a wonderful, wonderful place to be. But what does that mean for us today to be citizens of the kingdom of Christ? What does it mean for the life and the mission of St. Andrew's? Well, first, let's be clear what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're a special people who somehow deserve to be God's people. Not at all. We are citizens of the kingdom because God has chosen us, Christ has died for us, and the Holy Spirit has enabled us to respond to God's call. It is God's grace, God's steadfast love that makes us kingdom citizens, and that's true from beginning to end. nor does it mean that we are a privileged people, that we will somehow be spared the slings and the arrows of outrageous fortune. All the troubles and pains and sorrows of this world touch us just as they touch others. When a recession hits, we're not exempt from pink slips, are we? My one son died of H1N1 flu. My other son has struggled for years with post-traumatic stress disorder. My first wife, Dort, died of a congenital liver disease. We are not a privileged people. No. No. What we are is a responsible people. A responsible people. God has called us into the kingdom of Christ so that we may be servants of God, servants of those whom God brings into our lives, and servants of the created world. In that, we're like our King, who told his disciples, "I am among you as one who serves," and who also told them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are responsible to serve God as Jesus Christ served God. As he represented God before human beings, we are to represent him. In our words and in our deeds, we are to reflect the love, the righteousness, and the justice of our King. As he reconciled the world to God in his death and resurrection, we also are called to a ministry of reconciliation. We live in a divided world, don't we? And the divisions are wide and deep. And we are called by God to do all that we can to bridge those divisions, to bring people together in harmony, remembering that harmony does not mean that we all think alike. As Christ is the creator of all things, we're called to be creative in our service. We live in a rapidly changing world, and we need to be ready to change our ways of service. We cannot serve today's world with yesterday's methods. We can't tell the gospel story to a digital world using flannographs. And we can't speak to millennials using King James English. But most of all, we must remember, no matter what form our service takes in a changing world, we must always remember that we have been saved to serve. My brothers and sisters, fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, let us this day solemnly reaffirm our citizenship in that kingdom. Let us joyfully take up the responsibility that God has given us. Let us commit ourselves afresh to worshiping and serving God. Let us commit ourselves to continuing to learn to be the servants of God, of one another, and of the whole world. Let us make these familiar words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," a living reality in our lives and in the life of St. Andrews. May God grant us grace to do that day by day. Amen.